Hello. Ah, now that I've got your attention, I'd like a quick word about how Cambridge 105 Radio is funded. Our job is to give a voice to those groups who may not otherwise be heard. That may be our support for local music or the charity of the month. You're wanting to know how you can help, aren't you? Well, you can support our advertisers. And when you use their services, say you heard about them on Cambridge 105 Radio. And you can make a donation. It all goes towards our upkeep. We're eco-friendly, but we do have a bit of an electricity bill. Visit cambridge105.co.uk and click on the donate button. And thank you for listening.
So I'm sitting at the Museum of Cambridge with Chair of the Board of Trustees, Sarah Ingram, and the longest-serving trustee, Alan Brigham. It's a sort of relaunch party, a small relaunch party, because the museum has been closed for 6 weeks. What have you been doing during those 6 weeks, Sarah?
Well, we've had a great bunch of volunteers who've been in and deep cleaned the museum, which was long overdue. So everything has been cleaned. We've stripped all the objects out of each room very carefully, I hasten to add. They've been cleaned, and then we've cleaned the walls, the floors, the ceilings. And then things have been put back and in slightly different places. So you could call it a very small redisplay as well. And we've done that because it needed doing, but also to involve local people who heard about the crisis we had at the museum just before Christmas. And this was a way for them to come in and really get involved and get up close and personal with the collection, which is why people feel very connected to the museum.
Well, you mentioned a crisis there before Christmas. Tell me a bit more about that.
Well, I think most Cambridge residents will have read in the papers that we had a financial crisis just before Christmas. We realised that we were rapidly running out of money. This is not an unusual situation for small independent museums. We get some support from Cambridge City Council, which we're very grateful for, but that is specific money for a particular project. So to actually run the museum, we need to make our own income. And we just weren't keeping up. Our income wasn't coming in fast enough to cover our expenditure. So we reached a point where we knew we had to do something really quite radical if the museum was going to survive.
And Alan is one of the longest serving trustees, so you've got a history with the museum. You recognise that this was a crunch point.
Yes, although first time I heard about the museum, which was about 35 years ago, there was a picture of the curator standing in the front door of the saucepan asking for money and saying we're about to close. So to some extent, it's been the history of the museum. As Sarah said, we are a small independent museum. We've been supported by the City Council, but our grants have shrunk. And we really have survived, and I think we always will survive, because the people of Cambridge have always been so generous, both in giving time and in money. It means that we have to be constantly reinventing ourselves, and it means we had to be constantly involving new people. I think that's quite healthy. We can't just expect people to come through the door. We can't just expect someone to give us money. We had to make a case for it. And I think there's a really good case for it. We are the only museum in a city of museums that tells the story of the city and of ordinary people. We don't look like a Greek temple. We're actually an old pub. We're sitting here in the sort of fireplace of an old pub where people have sat for generations having drinks, telling stories, upstairs sleeping, keeping their horses out the back. It's a timber-framed building, probably the oldest domestic building that people can go into in Cambridge. You know, it wasn't lived in by students, it wasn't lived in by Nobel Prize winners, but lived in by the ordinary people, who you wouldn't believe it if you read the history books, make up the vast population of Cambridge, both now and in the past. So I think it's a lovely building. It's got a lovely story to tell. And I think the fact that we are independent is our strength, even though if it does mean we have periodic crises, we will get through them. And that's because the people of Cambridge have, you know, supported us always.
So when you have this crisis, Sarah, what do you do? You looked at the books and thought, this doesn't look good. What was the next step?
We're very lucky to be part of museums in Cambridgeshire. So we have a partnership, a museum partnerships officer. We were in close contact with him. And we were given a small grant to employ a museum consultant. He's got a very long history in museums and has done similar consulting around the country. He came along, he talked to all the trustees, he talked to volunteers, he talked to staff. He did tell us that our museum has the worst entrance of any that he's ever tried to get into, which is a bit of a difficulty. So basically, his report pointed out that probably our best chance for survival was to change the operation of the museum. And instead of it being run by paid staff members, that we should look to turn it into a trustee-led, volunteer-run museum. And there are quite a few independent museums that are run along that model. So we read his report and we thought it made complete sense. We did think that we had a longer period of time to implement it, so our idea was to run the project over 18 months. But in fact, it transpired that we really didn't have the funds to keep going as we were, employing the number of staff that we were. So sadly, we had to make the very difficult decision to make our museum manager redundant. And one of the contracts of another staff member came to an end and we weren't able to renew it. So we were very, very sad to see those staff members go, and they were very sad to leave. And it was, yes, it was a very difficult time just before Christmas.
And I know you've got a very dedicated set of volunteers here, but some people might say they don't necessarily have the experience or the expertise to run a museum of this size.
Oh, that's a very valid point to make. We're very lucky to be part of a cohort of museums that are part of an Arts Council funded project called Strengthening the Workforce in Museums, or SWIM2 as we call it. And that is all about expanding the volunteer base in museums in Cambridgeshire. So we've had a project manager working with us, and he's in fact been working with us full time practically over the last 6 weeks to help us do the deep clean. Without him and his expertise, and again, he has museum expertise, we would have struggled a lot more than we have. But there is an awful lot of support that is coming our way. So if volunteers and trustees are volunteers, if we don't have the skills, there is an awful lot of training, support and development that we can access because of the support networks that are in place in Cambridgeshire.
And the group of volunteers you have got, they're very dedicated, aren't they?
They certainly are. And we had a volunteer muster just after Christmas. And we were amazed. We packed out our little Enid Porter room. We had 50 people turn up who wanted to help the museum survive. And they've been amazing. And we have a lot of skilled volunteers as well. But we always have room for more. And part of our mission statement is to get people involved, to give them skills they might not have had before, or to help them polish skills they've had that they haven't used for a long time. So there are all sorts of opportunities to volunteer at the museum, probably some that we haven't even thought of yet. It's a question of coming and having a conversation with us. And I can guarantee that the people who've been involved so far have had an absolute ball because they have been up close and personal with the collection, which is just amazing.
So do you see this as a long-term solution then? Do you see the museum running like this for several years?
I do. I don't think that it's beyond possibility that we will at some point employ a staff member. In fact, that the plan that our consultant came up with was to employ a part-time operations manager, where that person's focus would be entirely on the operation of the museum and improving income streams. And I think that's probably a really good model, because that is the person who will organise and manage the volunteers and just operate the museum in a professional manner.
So for the average punter coming to the museum, Alan, will they see a difference?
Well, it's clean. And as Sarah said, we slightly changed the way that this has been organised. Obviously, the setup for most people when they come in, they may not know there's a difference. There'll be people welcoming them when they come in. There'll be activities here still. We've still got two grants funded and staff in post for that. Capturing Cambridge, which is our most successful and our most popular project, which involves loads of people all over Cambridge, is up and running. So for most people probably coming in the door, they may not notice any immediate difference, but hopefully they will want to get involved and actually to help us. I mean, that's, I think, the key message. we're not supported by any big institution. We're not supported by anyone with loads of money. I think that's good. We're not in anybody's pocket. We belong to the people of Cambridge, and it's up to them to work with us. And as Sarah said, all the trustees are volunteers as well. I think that's a real strength. To me, this, the joy of this museum is that we're sitting here in this nook near this huge fireplace. We've got a Fenn shooting gun sitting above us. We've got all these cooking implements here. They're not behind glass cases. I'm not asking people to suggesting you can touch them, but you could. Behind you, we've got an old pub sign with a guy walking away from the pub with his wife on her back, called the man. I think it's called The Man Loaded with Mischief. And I think that's the character of the museum. It actually feels like it could be somebody's house, and that's its strength.
And what else can people see here for people who haven't been to the museum? You've described this area we're sitting in. What other rooms are there?
Well, my favourite room is to go upstairs to the Fenn Room, which tells you the story of the area that surrounds Cambridge, which has got a fantastic history. And my favourite object in there is the man trap. And it's a reminder of times that were very, very different from today, when landowners were allowed to set traps and catch people in them.